an ethics board, and we'll turn to our clerk, Rebecca Brazelton.
All right, welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number on your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. The chair and the committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call in committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and again, welcome. I see Alder Revere is joining us right now. Rebecca, as soon as Alder Revere comes on, would you call the roll, please?
Thank you, Eileen. I'll just mention that I'm just walking out of the police chief swearing-in ceremony and will
Oh,
not be able
cool.
to turn my camera on as I'm driving, but I hopefully will be able to join you on camera sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Mike. That's good. We'll turn to Rebecca to call the roll, please.
Thank you.
Rebecca, you're muted.
Thank you. Travis Austin?
Here.
Travis Austin is here. Heather Daniels? Heather Daniels is here. Joanna Frash?
Here.
Joanna Frash is here. Eileen Harrington?
Here.
Eileen Harrington is here. Nadine Mobley? Nadine Mobley is absent. Alder Michael Revere.
Here.
Alder Michael Revere is here. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you. I believe that our first item of business is approval of the minutes from our January 30th meeting.
Move approval.
Is there a
Second.
second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from our January 30th meeting. Those in favor, please unmute and say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed, please unmute and say no. There are no noes. The minutes are approved. The next order of business is public comment. Do we have anyone registered for public comment, Rebecca?
We do not.
All righty. Then the next matter is disclosures and recusals. Do any members of the board need to make any disclosures or recuse themselves under the city's ethics code? Any recusals, Travis?
Yes, just a quick disclosure about agenda item number 5. We're going to just be going out the old elected and appointed official code of conduct, but I made public comment regarding the updates to it and stuff that were my own personal ones, so just wanted to state that.
Thank you very much. Any other disclosures or recusals? All right, we'll move on to new business. And the first item is elections for chair and vice chair to serve until June 30th, 2026. As you know, our previous chair termed out, and we need a new chair and we need a new vice chair. I think the floor is now open for nomination or self-nomination for chair. Travis?
I'd like to nominate you, Eileen Harrington, for chair.
All right. Travis has nominated Eileen Harrington. Is there a second on that nomination?
Second.
Seconded by Heather. Are there any other nominations for chair? Travis?
Procedural question for ACA McReynolds. For nominations for elections, do we need to have seconds, or is it just you need to have
What a
one
good
person for
question.
nominations?
I don't know. I can look it up, but having a second doesn't hurt anything. But I'm assuming you're asking maybe because you know we don't need it. But
Well,
I can check just to be sure. But I think it's fine to have the second.
if it's not required, I wouldn't want to deter any other nominations here for lack of a second. So, are there any other nominations? We'll take them. Second or no? Any further nominations? All right, nominations are closed. So the motion is to have me, Eileen Harrington, serve as chair of the board. If you would please unmute. Those in favor of the motion, please respond by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any votes in opposition? Okay, that's done. Now we need to elect a vice chair. Are there any nominations for vice chair? You can self-nominate or be nominated by someone else. I'm raising my hand. Eileen, do you have a nomination? Yes, I do. I'd like to nominate Travis Austin, to serve as vice chair. We don't need a second. But if there is one, that's great. Are there any other nominations? I don't see any. Okay, we'll call the vote. Those in favor of electing Travis Austin as vice chair of the Ethics Board, please unmute and say aye.
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 Any votes in opposition, please unmute and say no. Great. Travis, you're the vice chair.
I hope he accepts it. Thank you both.
Excellent. All right. Now let's turn to item three on the agenda, which concerns amending section 3.3512A of the Madison General Ordinances related to ethics complaints to clarify who may submit a complaint to the Ethics Board. Attorney McReynolds, would you mind summarizing this proposal?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So, as you can see from your packet, this is a very small change as far as the amount of change in the ordinance, but it might have a pretty it could have a big impact on the ethics code. You would be changing or recommending to the council to change any resident of the city may complain to the ethics board to any person may complain to the ethics board. One of the reasons for this change is, employees are covered by the ethics code, but we realize that if an employee is not a resident of the city, then they could not file a complaint, or it's possible that someone else that is not a resident of the city knows of a code violation or is alleging a code violation. So this would open it up to not just residents. I think that's the full explanation. Alder Verveer is sponsoring it. And what your motion would be whether to recommend it to council, and then council would take it up at their next meeting and vote to accept your recommendation or not.
Alder Verveer.
Thank you, Chair Harrington, and thank you for taking on the role of our chair. And same to our new vice chair. Let me just begin by formally moving to recommend adoption of the ordinance amendment to the Common Council.
It has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Alder Verveer.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to acknowledge that this recommendation to have this ordinance amendment came from our legal counsel. As I think most all of us will recall, the last time we had a formal complaint before the board, there was a discussion that the actual complainant was a bit of a substitute complainant, and that the alleged, I'll say victim, but anyway, complainant is not a, was not a city resident, so was not eligible to be the formal complainant. And so that got us thinking. And frankly, as some of you might know, I've served on this board for a very, very long time. And I've often wondered why our ethics code was so restrictive in terms of who was eligible to be a complainant or not. So, Attorney McReynolds and Attorney Haas and I discussed different options. And this is where we landed on was the most expansive option where there's, really no restriction. Or in any individual, no matter where they reside, would be eligible to file a complaint with the board. And if you'd like, we could talk about some of the other ideas that were discussed, but this is like obviously where we landed. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Verveer. Travis.
Yes, I wanted to just ask questions of city staff that might be able to speak to this, but my only slight concern with the broadest expansion of person that might be in our digital age, that people from external to the city, external to the state, who really have like no true knowledge of a situation, might find things like online in like chat forums or everything that might not be true. And then start submitting, ethics complaints to the city for whatever reason it could be. And I don't, and wondering about like, public comment or other BCCs that have like more expansion in like who can submit complaints or anything like that. If you've seen anything like that in this digital age, if that should be a concern or not. Just wondering about that. That's like the one only slight reservation I have just in the current digital age that we have where things can, where knowledge of something could be maybe not even say be true or not, that could potentially arise.
Attorney McReynolds.
Thank you, Chair. I had the same thought, Travis. I think you have a good point. Since we have a pretty low bar for filing the complaint, I do think that, some of the things that might help out are, I believe they have to submit. They have to say that they have information and belief, that they're willing to swear under oath that they have a firm belief that it's true. Complaints have to be in writing. I'm trying to see if there's any other thing that might be sort of help out with that. But yeah, I don't know. if that would be a concern. I did look at a few other cities, and it seems that it's not uncommon for municipalities to just say anybody. The other option, Alder Vervier alluded to, we talked about other options. Another option would be anybody covered by the code could also complain about the code being violated, but that does prohibit other people. So I don't know. I mean, or residents or people covered by the code. I don't know that there's one answer that's going to be the best solution that kind of takes into consideration all of those factors. I mean, I understand where you're what you're thinking about though, for sure. And I'm happy to also try to think about, ways to deal with that if that were to happen, and how to deal with it. Thank you,
Joanna?
Chair.
Thank you. Joanna?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just to say that in my experience, like in my day job, that is something that can happen. Like if it's, I don't believe that a complaint to our board and then going to the city council can result in any sort of monetary relief for folks. So that's usually in my experience what can trigger folks on the internet to submit complaints about things is if they can potentially gain something monetary from alleging something. And I don't think it would be a problem. So I'm still in favor of it.
I'm going to recognize myself for a moment to ask. My recollection is that when a complaint is filed, the board meets to review the complaint to determine whether the complaint has merit and should be handled. Right? Isn't that correct? So that if a complaint comes in that is seemingly, I don't know what the standard is for determining that the complaint is without merit, but I mean, if we get a complaint from somebody, in San Diego about, someone who works for streets, that would be very weird, and seemingly without merit, just making that hypothetical up. Attorney McReynolds, is that pr procedurally is that correct?
It is correct. There have been at least one time, maybe two, where someone has filed an ethics complaint that I did not even forward to this board because it was completely just in the wrong place to file something. Like someone, for example, was trying to find an eth file an ethics complaint against a county employee. And so I didn't even set up a meeting and have you review it just to say we don't have the ability to file, to deal with a county employee. I responded by email giving that information and they were satisfied with that. Or at least didn't want to continue pursuing, because it truly didn't make any sense. So something like that I might weed out, but I don't give any judgment about whether or not, something has to make a claim that it's a violation of 3.35, and it has to be someone covered by the code. So same, like if someone was filing a complaint against the governor or something like that, I don't think that we would even schedule something. But if it is a complaint that's part of the ethics code or arguably part of the ethics code regarding someone who is covered by the ethics code, it would come to you for that first step. And then we would continue if you found jurisdiction.
Thank you. Heather?
I was just going to say that the fact that the complaint has to be notarized is a little bit of work for somebody. And so I think that would deter some random person on the internet from filing something random, right? There's a little bit of time that would take to find a notary that would sign something. And so I do think that provides a little bit of protection.
Thank you. Travis?
Yes, yeah, after hearing these like procedural like frictions and stuff like that, knowing that there isn't anything monetary, you know, that someone can like claim for themselves, or you know, like and having to have something notarized, it's enough friction that I believe that the notion that all persons can be able to submit is a good standard here, and also hearing that other like municipalities do the same as well and don't appear to have this like issue of, you know, like complaints coming in out of the blue and stuff like that. You know, I think we can be good with this type of jurisdiction. And then if it does become an issue, then the board can reconsider a different alternative, maybe like Wisconsin resident or something that's a little more just so if we end up having things down the line that can be addressed later on.
Okay, is there any further discussion on the motion? And just as a reminder, this is a motion to amend section 3.3512A of the Madison General Ordinances related to ethics complaints to clarify who may submit a complaint to the board. And we are voting on a recommendation to the council that this amendment be made. If there's no further discussion, I think we can move to a vote. Those in favor of this motion, please indicate by unmuting and saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any in opposition, please unmute and say no. The ayes have it. The motion carries. Mike, it's nice to see you on the screen. You're looking really nice. Yeah, I can tell you were at some important event. We'll move on to item four on the agenda, amended ethics board procedures for review and approval. Attorney McReynolds, could you present this item, please?
Yes. So attached in your packet, you will see a draft, I would say probably an early draft of rules of procedure of the ethics board. I primarily am looking for approval from the ethics board to change the rules of procedure to make the language gender inclusive. It's something that we did with our ordinances, and then council gave my office general authority to do it in the ordinances. But just to be safe, I wanted to also do it in the procedures. I also was kind of playing around to make it a little easier to read, but I think more could be and should be done on that. So a couple of possibilities. One, you could make a motion to approve what I've got redlined for now, since I didn't want perfection to get in the way of progress. Or you could make a motion just to allow me to change anything to be gender inclusive, and then I could come back in June, because I'm suggesting a June meeting with something more finalized. Beyond that, beyond an official motion, I also wanted to hear from this body about if you want substantive changes in the rules of procedure drafted, or if you kind of wanted to just keep things as is, but just have it more readable or more understandable. And that I don't think needs to happen now. I think that could be something that you suggest to me in an email if you have specific changes. I'm hoping to go back and watch a couple of our last meetings and see if there was anything that was truly confusing for folks. Either complainants or respondents or members of the public to see if we can clear some of this up. But that's what I have for you on this item. Thank you.
So, Thank you very much. So it seems, and this is open certainly to modification, but it seems that that we have a couple of options here. One is to entertain a motion to approve the changes that are redlined in the material that we received in our meeting packet. That's option A. Option B would be to entertain a motion approving changes to make sure that the language in our procedural rules is gender inclusive, and wait for a more comprehensive set of recommendations from Attorney McReynolds that we would take up at our June meeting. I sort of heard those as the options. I'm wondering if before we have any motion, if anyone on the board would like to speak to this. Travis.
Yes. Well, in general, I'm like in favor of the like minuscule edits here and making everything gender inclusive. I think that, you know, for the most part, none of these like changes really do anything like substantively different and like include anything of like substantive change. So if we wanted to, I'd be fine with just approving these today. And then, but there would be one other thing that I think is like missing from our procedures right now, and it kind of came up today, was like procedure for election of chair and vice chair. And so that might be useful to include. Like I could see like a combined like entertained motion where we approve authorize the city attorney's office to create the gender neutral and clarity changes, and then also include if we're thinking any other sections might be missing from this, also to instruct them to draft those up for final approval at our next meeting as well.
So, Travis, let me be clear that I'm understanding. Let me make sure I'm understanding you. You're suggesting that we might go ahead and approve the red line changes along with a specific directive that our rules of procedure be gender inclusive, just in case there's more to be done on that. Is that the idea? And then there might be more recommendations to review at the next meeting. Is that sort of?
Yep, that's
because
basically,
you know, yeah, you'd like to see, for example, you know, the process for electing chair and vice chair included in the procedural rules. I'm wondering, I have a question on that. I'm wondering if the procedure for electing chair and vice chair is more appropriately addressed kind of on a all board commission committee basis. You know, is that something for an individual committee, board commissioner committee to articulate, Attorney McReynolds?
Yeah, so I generally look at Madison General Ordinance 33.01 first. For that kind of thing. I can take a quick look about chair and vice chair, but I think it might just say that they need to be elected there by June 30th, I believe. I think that, you know, typically the ordinance sort of is the main thing that we're looking at. And then if there are other additional procedures or clarifications, they can go into the procedures. But let me just take a look really quickly.
Well, you're looking, Travis, can I ask you a question about what you said? And that is, are there particular steps that you were thinking might be included or concerns that you had about this or, you know, anything more on the election of chair and vice chair? And why there should be something more, might be something more in the procedural rules?
Yeah, I think substantively it's like who should be in charge of running the meeting when we don't have a chair or vice chair, just to like typically it falls on city staff, but to maybe clarify that so that if we were to have an instance where the board doesn't meet for a while and we don't have a chair or vice chair, like what happened when I first had my very first meeting on the board, we didn't have a chair or vice chair. And I think that was just kind of the default that the city staff ran it until we handed it over to our chair, but maybe making sure that's formalized so that if new members come onto the ethics board, they know, oh, this is how it's going to go. Like you're in your first meeting, especially if we don't need to elect a chair and vice chair, just so you know what's happening. Also the question of like nominations, I've been in like different organizations where like nominations do or don't require seconds. And so just clarifying that as well. And also whether or not if we want to do like all at once voting or roll call, whatever we find to be like most efficient, I think just like asking for any objections. And if there's no objections, then just like it passes. And then if there's an objection, do a roll call, basic things like that and stuff like that, which I think may or may not be covered in our general like Robert's Rules of Order, like catch all or not, but those type of things.
Thank you. Attorney McReynolds.
Thank you, Chair. I found what I was looking for. It's 33.01 sub 7 sub A. And it says, except as otherwise provided, choose subunits. So you are a subunit as a board, shall choose their chair, vice chair, or any other officers. Elections for officers shall be conducted annually, no later than June 30th of each year. Officers shall be chosen by secret ballot if requested by any member of the subunit. So that would be sort of the controlling standard currently. Hopefully, Travis, we won't have a time where we don't have people again, because the goal is to have a meeting every year, at least once a year before June 30th, to take care of this and some other annual things that we need to do. And then I did look up, I think under regular Robert's rules, we did not need a second for nominations because it's not a motion to be debated. But that, you know, it's something that I can certainly look into it and propose, or, you know, come up with something, or if you want to come up with something too, look at it to try to put into the procedures. The procedures really are your document. Every board, committee, and commission has slightly different procedures. So, you know, there's no rule about what has to go or what can and can't go necessarily into the document, as long as it, you know, follows the rest of our ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you. Travis?
Thank you for that, AC McReynolds. Yeah, so maybe like knowing that now, like similar to how at the very beginning of our purpose and responsibility section right now, how we have like information or like members and officers of the board, right? We have the membership of the ethics board shall elect its own chair and vice chair, and shall written develop rules of procedure which shall be submitted to the mayor and common council for approval. But right here, we could simply like include like the election is governed by MGO, whatever, like as just a reference. And that would probably suffice enough anyways at that point then, just so people know.
Thank you. Yes, Attorney McReynolds.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, in general, I think if it's not already in here, I think that adding a general reference to MGO 3301 would be helpful for anyone reviewing this, so they know that there's something else out there that also governs this body beyond just 3.35 and these rules of procedure. So I think that would be helpful overall for anyone looking at this. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have a couple of options. One is to entertain a motion to modify our procedural rules as edited in the draft that we received for today's meeting, with the understanding that Attorney McReynolds is going to continue reviewing and may have further edits to propose or amendments to propose for our June meeting. But it seems to me that if we went that route, that would have the benefit of immediately complying with the council's directive that subunits rules be amended to include gender inclusive language. And you know, I would hope that we would do that. I see no reason to wait until June to comply with that directive. So Travis?
Yeah, with that, I'd like to formally move that we accept the amendments to our rules and procedures as currently redlined by the city attorney's office, and also direct them to continue developing further recommendations for proposal and adoption at our June meeting, consistent with our discussions today.
Thank you. Heather?
I would second that.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. I would ask that those who support the motion unmute and say aye.
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 I would ask that those in opposition unmute and say no. Hearing no votes, this motion is adopted unanimously. And we can thank you very much, everyone. We'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the annual reminder of the current elected and official code of conduct and summary of potential updates. Once again, turning it over to Attorney McReynolds.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. So I believe that you got in your packet or received a link to the council's code of conduct. This is to be reviewed once a year by elected and appointed officials, and you are all appointed officials. So hopefully you were able to review that. I did want to give you an update. As Travis mentioned, there are proposed amendments that council is currently working on, but I still didn't want to wait for those to just have you review what it currently is. As of now, those proposed amendments are going to the Common Council Executive Committee on October 28th and then back to council on in November. Either November 25th or November of 2025. I'm not sure what that note means, but sometime in November, council will be potentially approving amendments. If and when amendments are approved, I will make sure that all of you receive that. And Common Council Chief of Staff has agreed to come to our next meeting, which would likely be in June, to review that code of conduct with this body and answer any questions that you might have at that time. I did also want to mention that, at least for now, there might be a couple of mentions in the title or in the wording of the Common Council Code of Conduct that use the word ethics or ethical. And so that was causing a little bit of confusion about, you know, why this board was not asked about it and things like that. And basically the code of conduct that the council has and our code of ethics in 3.35 are completely two separate things. So this board does not have any sort of jurisdiction over the council's code of conduct. That is something that, you know, came up sort of in the past with a complainant wanting to make a complaint about that code of conduct to this board. And that's sort of, you know, why that's just a demonstration of how these are two different things. So I'm happy to answer any questions about that if you have any. Otherwise, it's sort of a stay tuned for any amendments that the council might approve. Thank you.
Thank you. Travis?
I just wanted to mention for any other members of this board or anybody who might be watching at home, just to note the Legistar file number for that is 87483. So if you want to go look at, there's lots of different drafts and stuff cycling around. So it might be a useful thing to listen into to see which there's a couple alternatives that are all floating around that might, they'll be discussed. So yeah.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. This brings us to the last agenda item, which is great news from the city attorney's office about some ethics training material that is being prepared for members of BCCs. So Attorney McReynolds, give us the good news.
Okay. So this is more of just an update for the board than an actual training. So the organizational development department of human resources is asking for certain sort of videos to be made to onboard and better train members of boards, commissions, and committees, or what we call BCCs. And one of them will be an ethics code training. We do have that on our website currently, but it is a very old training. Not really much has changed, but we're trying to get things updated and have it more of a process or procedure to have everybody watching these videos or potentially playing the video at a BCC meeting. So everyone is sort of on the same page when they are starting their service on a BCC. So as of now, it will look sort of like a PowerPoint with hopefully just my voice in the background kind of going through the PowerPoint. It's not going to be like a live presentation where I'm doing question and answer and that kind of thing. So a pretty controlled PowerPoint that will be publicly available, but certainly available to anyone on a BCC to take a look at any point. And then you know, a lot of what I'll be doing is reminding people that if they aren't sure about something, to take a look at the language of 3.35, and they still aren't sure about something, to contact our office. So that is really the update on that. I wanted to give you a heads up because I'm hoping that that's going to happen relatively soon. And once it does, you will be the first ones to see it. I'm hoping to share it with you first, so that one, you can, you know, see the official training, and then also if you have any, you know, major feedback from it, like if you think I've misstated something that is within your jurisdiction, or, you know, if something still seems really confusing, I would like to hear that. And I think you all are probably the best audience for knowing if something seems confusing from the ethics code training. Also, if there's anything, you know, specific that you think needs to be touched on, please send me an email and let me know. Don't BCC don't CC everyone on the committee. Just you can let me know if you have any ideas or feedback. You know, 3.35 is very expansive. There's a lot in there, even though it's not a ton of pages. There's a lot going on. And so I don't think I'm going to be able to explain the whole thing, but I'm going to try to really clarify some of the main points that BCC members might be dealing with, and explain some basics that might not be obvious to a lot of people. Like the word incumbent doesn't just mean an elected official. It includes everyone that's under the code, that type of thing. So yeah, that is the update on the ethics code training that will be forthcoming.
Thank you very much for your work on that. I think it's really important, and I was heartened when we were talking earlier to hear that the city HR department more broadly is preparing onboarding training materials for members of BCCs, and mentioning to you that my only previous experience serving on a city board commission or committee was serving on the Task Force on Government Structure, one of the really nerdy committees ever created by the Common Council. I think that was one of our recommendations. It certainly is something that we talked about, the importance of having really good onboarding for members of boards, commissions, and committees. Does anyone have anything else that they need to bring forward this evening for the good of the whole? Because if not, I want to thank Rebecca very much for herding us together tonight and preparing the materials and getting them out. And I want to thank Amber for all of her good work and counsel. The best thing that the city of Madison has going for it, in my view, is its staff. And so really appreciate your work. And Travis, and well, Attorney McReynolds, your hand is up, and Travis, yours is too. So.
Thank you, Chair. One thing I wanted to note is be on the lookout for an email from Rebecca, a doodle poll, so that we can get something set up before June 30th. That will be the goal if there's nothing that comes into the city attorney's office for you before then. We definitely will be having a meeting in June, or I guess late May could be, but just keep an eye out for that in the meantime. Thanks
Yes,
so
if we
much.
are lucky, we will not see each other
That's true.
before then.
That's true.
If everyone behaves, we will not see each other before then. Travis.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something. Well, also that I noted that our city ethics code still has gendered language and stuff. So I'm assuming at some point that will become part of the amendments and updates and stuff. So 3.35 will have some updates eventually because of that. I was only double checking it right now because I wondered if this will be included in the training about we have a lot of like information and about jurisdiction for who files complaints to the city, like formal complaints. But then the question of like advisory opinions on whether or not that is restricted to just elected officials or not is not necessarily entirely clear because it says when an incumbent, and so the question of whether that incumbent phrase means any incumbent BCC member. Or if it's just elected incumbents, because it then says or a candidate for a city elected office. So just maybe like including what the city attorney's like understanding of that phrase is and stuff. I only had someone ask me about it and it was like, I don't know. So because they were wondering if they knew somebody on a city BCC, not their alder or whatever, and wondered if they could have pestered them to ask for an advisory opinion or whatever. It was a really bizarre conversation, but that's the only reason why I had noticed it and stuff. And including that in the training might also be something useful for BCC members as well.
Thank you. Anything else tonight? Well, thank you all, and we'll entertain a motion to adjourn then.
So moved.
And
Second.
is there a second? We have a motion and second. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anyone want to stay on longer? Say no. Great. Good to see you all. Thank you again. Good night.
Thank you,
Thanks,
everyone.
everyone.
Thanks.
All right.
Take care.